You know, even with Brother Tucker, here this big guy comes up to me talking, amen, instead of saying it, he says hit. And he's up there talking to me about preaching, and you know, I'm busy fooling around my books, and I'm looking at him out of one eye, and here he is talking to me about preaching and the message and all that, and I'm interested in what he got to say. Then Brother Drummond comes along and says, this is the pastor of the White Plains Baptist Church, and immediately my attitude toward him changed.
Go ahead, preacher. Go ahead, preacher.
Oh, my. That is in all of our humility. I was in the Goodwill store with my wife and looking through the book rack, and I bought three books. I bought a book on the Old Testament, Lessons from the Old Testament, written by a Jewish rabbi. Well, it was a good little book. It's an unsaved man. It's lessons for a boys' Sunday school class, I guess it's Saturday school class, by a Jewish rabbi. And they were just real practical, things just like you and I'd preach. It's amazing how much he understood about the Bible. And then I picked up a book, A.B. Simpson on the Holy Spirit, book one. I don't know where book two is. I got a message out of every article I read. What a book on the Holy Ghost, A.B. Simpson. And this is one of the messages that God gave me out of James chapter 4, verse 5. I never knew what this verse really meant until he brought it to my attention. James chapter number 4, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not thence even from your own lust? Oh, I thought all of that came from the devil. Isn't that what you heard? All this church splitting and fighting and carrying on in marriages. Isn't that what you heard? That it came from the devil? I had a young man get aggravated me in my house the other day. He was telling me how the devil had ruined this church, and he told me the things that went on. And I said, brother, that wasn't the devil. That is the flesh. From whence comes wars, and come they not from your own lust? That war in your members, that's your flesh. You lust, you have not, you killed, you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not, and you asked and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it in your lust. You're adulterers, you're adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Whoso therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to preach now. Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be a messenger for the cause of Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, amen. In that little chapter there, Mr. Simpson said, this verse means, do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? And that goes back to the law of God, thou shalt have no gods before me, because really there is no corresponding exact verse like this anywhere in the Old Testament. And it goes back to, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? Mr. Simpson said, God will tolerate no rivals. And I wasn't mature enough to handle that all at once, and so I had to put two more points to this message in order to get to preach that one point. Because I didn't have enough brains or enough spirituality just to preach that one point, so I put two other points with it. And the two other points are these: God allows no changes, God takes no prisoners, and God tolerates no rivals. Now that's the God of this book. That's our God. God allows no changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." The security of our salvation is bound up in the fact that God will not change. Christ does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. God cannot be improved. Amen? Amen? How could you improve upon Jesus Christ? He cannot be improved. He does not mature. Amen? Amen? The Word of God does not change. Psalms 119:87, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Deuteronomy chapter number 12, verse 32, "Whatsoever thing I command you, observe it. Ye shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Proverbs chapter number 30, verse 6, "Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Revelation chapter number 22, verse 18, "I testify unto you that every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are in the book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and out of the holy city and out of the things that are written in the book." And Jude chapter number 1, verse 3, "Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful to me to write and exhort to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints." Now, I appreciate what Brother Tucker said. I just made a note here about Paul went into daily to the, amen, in the temple, and he went down to the where they sold to the market, and he disputed every day. And how many times have I heard some empty-headed, addle-headed preacher look at me and said, "Now, brother, we don't want to argue. Why not?" Amen. What are you afraid to, you gutless? You don't believe nothing. That's why you're afraid to argue. You don't know nothing. That's why you're afraid to argue. We're to contend, bless God. Amen. And everybody wants to contend without being what? Without being contentious. Well, you can't do it. Paul went down there, and that little Jew got eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose with him, amen, and he disputed with him. He argued with him. He fussed with him, amen, and he changed some of their minds, and they got saved, and they never did change his mind. He wasn't afraid to dispute. He wasn't afraid to argue. Now, we're living in a day when everything is different. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but the rapid change and evolution of our society is linked to evolution.
Yes, sir. You're right.
These liberals like the Clintons and those people believe in evolution. They do not believe in creation.
You're right, preacher.
And when you say to them or somebody says to them, "Don't you know that this didn't work in the past?" They don't care.
Amen.
Because what was in the past is different than what it is now. And since 1960, they believe that we have really evolved as people.
Yes,
Clinton believes he's a different kind of person that ever existed before in the world, and it doesn't matter that it wouldn't work in the past. He can make it work because he's different. It's a different time. And when you say things ought to change in the church, don't you know that times are different? What are you, a communist? What are you, a socialist? What are you, a humanist? I'm telling you that God does not change. Our Bible does not change. Our beliefs should not change. I was raised up in the Baptist Bible Fellowship. That lasted exactly 25 years. When Beecham Vic died, it changed. What they would not allow and what they would not allow in that college, when I went there, is allowed now and more.
Yeah. Go ahead, preacher.
You know, when I went to Baptist Bible College, single men and women could not eat together. And I'll guarantee you, that old hatchet-faced lady, amen, who was the girl's dorm mom, she is there. And you ain't eating with any of her girls, and you ain't taking any of them out. And they had a big parlor in that girl's dormitory where the men could come and talk to the ladies and be with the ladies, but you ain't taking none of them out of there.
Go ahead.
And we had more people. I was in the biggest class they ever had. Under with those kind of standards. We had more people, amen, than they ever had with those kind of standards. But oh, they got smart, didn't they? They changed. Amen. Then you could wear trousers and shorts, and the professors out wearing shorts, and amen, playing golf on the lawn in their underwear. I had sense enough not to never go anyplace in my underwear. How did we make this change? Go to camp now, and the boys and girls bathe together. Not any kind of a standard anywhere in sight. You couldn't tell it. You couldn't tell it from the YMCA camp. Ain't a way in the world you could tell it from a YMCA camp or a Southern Baptist camp. And they have changed. God does not change. The message doesn't change. Sin doesn't change. I don't care. You say hairstyles change. This changes. That changes. God never changes. I was reading some things about the life of Sam Jones, and this writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer had written this, and he said that he had interviewed Mr. Jones, and he said, Mr. Jones, he said, this guy you sent to be your warm-up man, Sam Small, he's vile. What about you? Sam Jones says, I'm twice as vile. And he was given an account of the meeting that he was in where Sam Jones preached, and he said he got up. And a ministerial student prayed before Sam Jones preached. And the ministerial student folded his hands and he said, may we pray, oh God. Prayed in all that affected manner. And he said, oh, long, lanky Sam Jones came to the pulpit and he folded his hands in a mock manner and said, may we puke. Then he said he turned his guns on the church. And he said, he sent shot after shot into the side of the church, amen, until all of the brethren were sore. And then he said when he had the church all shot up and wounded, he said then he turned his guns on us sinners, amen, and raked us fore and aft. No making no decision. I'm telling you, they preached against the theater. They preached, you hear me? They preached against the theater. They preached against, you ought to read, you couldn't read. Like his brother said, you're not man enough to read what Sam Jones wrote about the fair and about the circus. You ought to read who he said went to the circus. I can't say it here because of everybody who's here, brother, but he used the terms, and amen. And it was rough and it was crude. Say, people were different then. Yeah, they were different then. They had some character then. They'd get right rather than get mad. You know I'm telling the truth. Billy Sunday said, if my neighbor causes my son to dance, I'll slap my neighbor's jaw. He ain't putting up with it. I was reading about him and a man cussed him out in a cleaner's. And he stepped outside and took a breath and walked back in, and a lady walked in with him. That man started cussing again. He said, I reached across. I mean, this is a great athlete. This man's a great athlete. The fastest base runner, amen, up until modern times. He said, I reached across the counter and pulled him out and took him out in the alley and taught him not to cuss. And what do you think he did to him? He thumped him, amen. Hadn't changed, amen. God hadn't changed. The Bible hadn't changed. We've changed. We've got educated and sophisticated, amen. Changed our praise. I got a psalm here, Psalm 22:3. God inhabits the praise of Israel. He likes praise. That's why he's here. Because what does he do? He inhabits And I just got this to say on this last word on this point, my son, fear, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord, the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Get out of that fellowship! You ain't helping them, and they're ruining you! Get out! You know what Lester Roloff preached? When he left the Southern Baptist Convention, he preached on Absalom, and he hung the hippie in the tree, and the mule walked on, and he said the hippie hung in the tree and got a dart through his liver, and the mule walked on, and he folded his Bible and walked out. You think they got the point? Who was the Southern Baptist Convention? Absalom hanging by his old long hair. Who was the mule? Roloff. And what'd he do? I'm telling you, the mule walked on, man. Amen. They came out. Get out. Find you some place where there's some life and there's some power. You don't want that, though. You want to be entertained and tickled and titillated and amazed. Amen. You want to be told that you're right. You want to see your heroes promoted. I want to see Jesus promoted. Put on you. Your life is not my answer. Your experience is not my answer. Your book is not my answer. Your message is not my answer. Jesus is my message. Preach on my sins and get me close to Him. Amen, cannot allow these kinds of meetings to change. Because people like it and give bigger offerings. Amen. This is one of the biggest meetings. More people come here. Brother Greg gets them to come earlier and keeps them later and abuses them more than anybody on earth. And they like it. Why? Because there's something here. Why should he change? God does not change. We cannot change our faith. We cannot change our doctrine. God takes no prisoners. God takes no prisoners. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that scattereth not with me gathereth abroad. Luke chapter number 11, verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. God takes no prisoners. God has no middle ground. Amen, amen. That's Southern Baptist, amen, voting whether the Bible is the Word of God and whether you ought to ordain women. What a nutty, goofy, amen, silly thing. And you're laughing. But I said at a group just 20 years ago that would laugh at the same thing. Now they're doing it. If it's wrong 100 years ago, it's wrong today. If it's wrong in Moses' day, it's wrong today. Nakedness is just as wrong as it ever was, but it's just as much involved with the devil as it ever was. And God takes no prisoners. He said, give us a Moses. Well, they made a golden calf. Amen. And Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites ran to him. And he said, draw your sword and what? Kill every man his brother. I knew a preacher. He's having trouble in his church. He had a nice church and pretty good choir loft, bigger than this. And he just got up one Sunday and said, everybody's on my side, get in this choir. Everybody's in his side, got in the choir. He said, what are you rest of you people going to do? You not on my side? They said, no. He said, all right, we got the most. You're out. He turned around and made a motion. How many of you motioned to vote them out? They voted them out. Amen. We want to take prisoners, don't we? I noticed that Brother Hasbrook was teaching on that thing, you know, about how you teach these new converts. We want to sneak up on them. Amen. We want to creep in on them. We want to sneak up on them. Bless God, did God sneak up on you? God didn't sneak up on me, amen? God brought Holy Ghost conviction into my soul. He doesn't change. My wife and I have driven thousands of miles together, and we've worried about you people and some of you. And our worry is, how come they didn't get what we got? How come God didn't do for them what he did for us? How come God didn't get them out of the world? How come God didn't convict them about things? Amen! How come they don't want to love God? How come they don't want to live a holy life? What's wrong with those people? God doesn't change. God takes no prisoners. God told Saul, he said, go. Utterly slay, utterly slay. He said, kill all the Amalekites. He said, kill their men, kill their women, kill their babies, kill their hogs, kill their dogs, kill their sheep, kill their cattle. Kill them all, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all. What'd Saul do? He took old Agag, amen, because that would promote him. Here he was, had a king for his servant. And he turned to the man of God and he said, all the Lord has commanded, I've done. And he believed that in his heart, you see, because he didn't believe the Bible, he interpreted it. A while ago when I said, how many of you, are guilty of envy? I didn't say how many of you is convicted. I've had dirty, low-down scum tell me I'm not convicted. Who cares? That just shows you're nine times more wicked than hell, that you're not convicted of sin. Come, you're not convicted of the same sins this man's convicted of. Separated from the world like he separated from the world. What's wrong with you? God doesn't change. Ain't two gods. Ain't two Holy Ghosts. Ain't two Bibles. God takes no prisoners. I'm telling you, the man of God got there. And he said, bring Agag. You know what Agag said? Agag said, surely the time of anger is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword has made women childless, so this sword shall make thee childless today. And he hewed him in what? I mean, he chopped his head off. He just started hacking at him and hitting him, amen. And he got his nose and his arms, amen. And he got down to his torso, amen. And he scattered that old wicked king all over the ground. And it was a bloody mess when he got through. Why'd he do that to Agag? God don't take no prisoners. You're in a war, and you're in trouble, and the enemy sends you a message and says, you surrender now, we give no quarter. You know what that means? You don't give up now, you're done for. Because when we come in, we're not going to spare anybody. We're going to kill everybody in the trench. We're going to kill everybody in the bed. We're going to kill everybody in the hospital. We're going to wipe you out. We're going to destroy you. Do you know that's the way? Isn't that the way God fought wars? God takes no prisoners. You remember when God gave Ahab the victory? He gave him the victory, didn't he? He gave him the victory over Ben-Hadad for saying that God was the God of the mountain and not the God of the valleys. And Ahab took Ben-Hadad prisoner. And God sent a man of God by to say, you're done for, man. It's over for you. You've taken a prisoner. It's his life, your life now for what? His life. God takes no prisoners. Hell is not a prison. Hell's a pit. Hell's where you're going to go and burn forever. God takes no prisoners. The sea gave up the dead which are in them, and death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to his worth, and death and hell were what? And I mean, when it's over, it's the saved and the what? And the lost, and there's what is there? There's nothing else. And there is no prisoners. There is no place of rehabilitation. You'll give in and you'll give over now to the King of Kings, amen, and the Lord of Lords, or you'll go to hell. You'll not get out. It won't be a prison. It'll be a place of torment. It'll be a pit. You understand me? You know I'm telling the truth, don't you? We want to take prisoners. We want to get people in. And oh, no, God don't take no prisoners. God doesn't take any prisoners. God doesn't allow any changes. And God doesn't take any prisoners. And God tolerates no rivals. Can you imagine my wife? She knows I got a girlfriend. And she's going to win me back and let me, Oh, Lord, you don't know my wife. She hears about some of these fornicating preachers, and she says, don't you do it. She said, you have to sleep sometime. She said, I'll sew you up. She said, I'll sew you up in a sheet, and I'll pour boiling water on you where you'll forget about it. That'll keep you straight. Well, you see, no, we tolerate all of it, don't we? We want others, we want to train people to be tolerant. We need to be tolerant. Tolerant with sin, tolerant with people who don't know, tolerant with a brethren who's dumb as a rock. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes down to what we believe, we ain't changing. We ain't changing this shouting. We ain't changing this preaching. We ain't changing, we ain't changing, we ain't changing. The only way you can get in on it is what? You got to change, because we're not. God don't change. God takes no prisoners. God tolerates no rival. My wife is not going to tolerate another woman in my life. She's not going to do it. She's told me so. She says it's abominable. It's awful. I'm not competing with anybody else. If my wife won't, can you imagine how abominable it is for God to compete with you? God ain't going to compete with the world. We ain't going to have a bunch of people up here singing that sound like the world, amen, and have everything the world has got and the sound of the world and the noise of the world and the attitude of the world. We ain't having it. We ain't having it. We ain't having it. If God's people and church people sing, a bunch of road lizards up here, we ain't going to have it. You realize that's cussing? You don't believe that. Are they singing for the glory of God or for money? Will they sing if you don't pay? Will they sing if you don't pay? What are they singing for?
Money!
Money. Therefore, are they using the Lord's name to worship and praise Him? Well, if they're not using it to worship and praise God, then they're using it in what? They're using it in vain. It's Christian cussing, and you promote it and listen to it and pay $9, amen, to help that bunch of whoremongers. So you're against everything. I wished I knew more to be against. I am the Lord God of the land of I am the Lord God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. There is no Savior besides me. For mine own sake, for mine own sake will I do it, that I should, for how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory to another. What about these preachers that have gotten the glory and gotten the acclaim and the admiration? Amen. What's God done to them? He'll tolerate no rivals. He'll tolerate no rivals. He came to Eli and he said, honorest thy sons before me? What'd he do with those boys? What'd he do with those boys? He killed them. He died in disgrace in battle. He'll tolerate no rivals. And I'll tell you, mister, you better be careful that your ministry doesn't become a rival to Jesus Christ. This is my ministry. God gave me this ministry. There's a lot of men that are totally and completely and absolutely submitted to a ministry, but that ministry is not submitted to God, and they're not going to have anybody tell them nothing or preach to them at all about it. My ministry is not the rival of God. Love not what? The world. Whosoever is a friend of the world is what?
Enemy
of God. And he don't take any what? He don't take any prisoners. He don't allow no changes. Don't take any prisoners. A fella told me one time, his wife, man, she is two axe handles wide. And she said, I guess you saw my wife was wearing trousers. I thought, how in the world could I miss it, man? This girl needs to be in a muumuu or something. And he said, I know that you don't approve of that. But he said, We'd all be in trouble. Thank God he didn't go to New Guinea, amen? We would be bothered. Changed his conviction. Why? To promote his ministry. And I've seen God on this man. I said, where is he at now? He's dead. But he said to me, he said, I guess you think some godly saint made this suit you're wearing. He said, probably some queer, probably some sodomite designed that. And I said, well, you know. He said, what you've got on, can't you see that what you've got on is just as worldly as what you think my wife is wearing? Because some sodomite or some queer, and this suit you've got on is made by the world. He said, don't you have sense enough to know no Christian manufactured this? I said, my word, that's a bad thing to say. So I went and prayed about it.
Go ahead, preacher.
I didn't have any of them skins that God clothed Adam with. Figured I had to wear something. So I faced him with it the next day, and I said, I prayed about it, God showed me something. I said, this isn't worldly. I said, number one, what's worldly is sinful. This ain't sinful. To break God's law, to transgress God's commandments, is what? Transgression of the law is, what is transgression of the law? Is it today? Transgression of the law is sin. Then I told him, I said, whatever is sensual, that's worldly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sensual, having not what? Having not the Spirit. That's worldly.
Yeah, right.
If my clothes were sensual,
right. Go ahead, preacher.
All right. Yeah.
Then I'd be worldly.
Go ahead.
But I'm not worldly, amen, because it's not what? It's not sensual. I don't let my wife dress like some movie star.
Amen.
You know, I used to go to ACE meetings, and I was in an ACE meeting, and we couldn't wear blue jeans. Good, honest blue jeans. We couldn't wear them. They weren't allowed. But boys had on breeches with the cuffs tied tight around their ankles, and suits with 47 zippers in the legs and the behinds. Now, where'd they get that? Michael Jackson. And here the girls in leather skirts and bangles all up and down their arms. Where'd they get that? Where'd they get that? Madonna. And those idiots let me preach. And I got so mad, I couldn't think of anything to say, and I screamed at them. I said, you haven't got the guts of a frog! I don't know why I said that, but that's what I said. I screamed it. Here were those young people under their charge, and they wouldn't allow them to dress in blue jeans, but they allowed them to dress like what? Like the world, sensual. And then who's the god of this world? Satanic. Rock music is satanic. New Age is satanic. Hey, don't tell some of these people on this diet this, but holistic medicine is satanic. I get around somebody that's on that, and I get me a candy bar and peel it, amen? And they say, what are you doing? That's health food, amen? Drink a Pepsi and eat a Snickers, amen? Just to aggravate them. This suit isn't worldly. This suit isn't worldly. Because it's not sensual. And it's not sinful. And it's not satanic. And it's not selfish. I wouldn't wear this. I'd wear a pair of overalls to church if I could get away with it. Boy, I'd do away with this choking, amen, and amen, sweating under the armpits. Who cares? But I wear it because God's people expect me to look like this. I don't know why exactly, but that's the way they got it figured out. We're not to love the world. We're not to love that which is what? Sinful. And we're not to love that which is selfish. And we're not to love that which is satanic. And we're not to love that which is sensual, having not the Spirit. Love not. If you love the world, what are you? You're the enemy of God, and God doesn't change. He takes no what? Prisoners, and he allows no rivals. If you're not willing to totally and absolutely abandon yourself to Jesus Christ, totally and completely, you set up an idol in your heart. Your feelings, you've reserved something. God won't tolerate it. Don't you understand? I'm writing a little book now about Egypt to Cana, and I'm through. I'll just give this, and I'm through. But don't you understand that the people in the wilderness had the presence of God and the power of God, and they ate the manna of God, and they had the man of God? Don't you realize that? But with them, God was not, what? Well pleased. Because they wouldn't believe him by faith and abandon their life to enter into the promised land, would they? You won't abandon your works and your efforts to enter into the finished work of Jesus Christ by faith and rest totally and completely on him. You don't want that old man crucified. And when you sit here now and you begin to contemplate, what is he talking about, old man crucified? Put off that old man. Right away, that old liar, the flesh is corrupt through deceitful lust, and he begins to tell you, you don't need to go that far. You're all right. You'll be okay. We'll read our Bibles. We'll pray. But you've got a rival. It's you. Hey, preacher. They said to him, he saved others! What's the next thing he said? Himself, he cannot save. And boy, I'll tell you, that was a terrible realization to me when I realized that I was the one who could not be spared. Not if I'm going to be used of God. Not if God's going to use me. Hey, who did Jesus die on the cross for? Well, who did he die on the cross for? Well, he died for others. He didn't die for himself, did he? He did die for others, and he died for his Father. He died for his Father, didn't he? Didn't he die for his Father, and he died for who? Others. But you see, y'all listen to the radio, and the radio preacher's got you convinced that you need to die on that cross so you'll have better, do better, and feel better. But that cross ain't for you to have better, do better, and feel better. Get over your nervousness, your upsets in your life. The cross, if you take up a cross, who are you going to die for? And for who else? For others. I got a peach tree in my backyard. If I go out there in the morning and it's ate all the peaches off of itself, I'm going to chop it down. Amen. If there's nothing left under that tree but pits and shreds of peaches, and I find out that peach tree ate its fruit off itself, I'm going to cut it down. Wouldn't you? Sorry thing. So I want to be filled with the Spirit and have the fruit of the Spirit. Who for? Who do you have fruit for? Who's fruit for? Who's love, joy, peace for? Others. You might try your wife. Your husband. Your children, your pastor, your lost brother, your lost sister. Fruit is for others. You know, I told you I had this problem with envy, didn't I? One day I sat down and I told God, I said, how come you blessing this guy? How come he's getting all the people? How come all them good people join his church? I mean, what's he got? You know what God told me? He said, Alan, he's got something for him to do. Amen. He said, he's got something to give them, and he's got ministries for them to be involved in and something to do. What you got? You see, God ain't going to give you nothing because you just want it for who? Just want it for yourself. Come on, preacher.
Amen.
And God ain't giving you nothing? You know why God ain't giving you nothing? Because you ain't doing nothing. And why would God give you somebody to do nothing with? God gives people things who are doing something. And they're doing something unselfish. For who? For others. You want God to give you somebody? Get to work. Have something for what? For others. Does he ever change?
No.
He's never changed, has he?
No.
He's still holiness.
Oh, yeah.
Without holiness, what? No man shall see God. No holy life. No Holy Ghost. Is he going to take prisoners?
No,
sir. He's going to draw a sword lying in the dirt, and he's going to say what? Who is on my side? And he's going to get the ugliest preacher he can get to say, go kill the rest of them. Take a sword and hew them to what? Pieces. In the book of Judges, Gideon wanted his boy to kill the kings, and his young men couldn't kill him. Gideon's young men couldn't kill him. Gideon's sons couldn't kill him, kings. The old man of God said, what? Give me a sword. Bring me that egg. And then what did he do? Did he stab him? Did he cut off his head? What did he do? He hewed him in what? He cut him to pieces. Why? See, you're willing to sneak up on somebody and capture somebody. God ain't sneaking up on nobody. He takes no what?
Prisoners.
He takes no prisoners. He never changes. He never changes. And he tolerates no what? Tolerates no rivals. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we've come, and our Father, we've laid this upon the people of God, and our Father, it's a message from Thee, and our Father, it came about, Lord, in a strange way, and I thank you for it. And now I pray you'd put some convictions, our Father, in the souls of the men of God here first. Our Father, you'd begin to work on the lives, our Father, of those upon whom you placed your hand to come, our Father, and bow at this altar and say, I serve a God who changeth not. And Lord, where we've changed, may we repent, our Father, of our fear and of our fear of failure. And may we repent, our Father, of our compromise. And may we stand again, our Father, and say, give me a sword. And Lord, wield the sword of God. And take no prisoners. And make no, Lord, just make no pets out of sin. And our Father, preach the word of God with power. And bring honor and glory to your glorious name. Now, Father, impress these people, our Father. Lord, I know that you can work a miracle in the lives of people, our Father, even some that are bending, and our Father, who are swayed by the philosophies of this world and the philosophy of this age, that change is the way to produce good. When God changeth not, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.